Hi, this is the Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to is recorded at DEF CON 4 at the Monte Carlo Casino and Resort, freshly built in 1996. Copyright, all right reserves, except permission is expressly granted for non-profit educational use. Now sit back and relax. If you have any questions, please contact me at dtangent@defcon.org or visit our website, www.defcon.org. Thank you, and kick back and relax.
Hi. The Electronic Frontier Foundation was founded in 1990, and they're the topic of our little seminar panel today. It's probably a bit unfair of us to talk about them too much, though, without a representative of EFF being here to defend themselves. However, it's also unfair that other people aren't here to represent themselves, people such as Bernie S., Kevin Mitnick, Noogs, and the list just goes on and on. Kevin Paulson, there's just lots and lots of people. Maybe we're just not speaking loud enough, but the EFF just doesn't seem to know about these people. We're not going to stand up here and talk about how there's a big conspiracy against us and everyone hates us and stuff like that, because that's already been done. But Scott here has an algorithmic formula so that you yourself can figure out how the EFF sucks, when the EFF sucks, and exactly, you know, if you have any questions, this should answer all of them. And we have other examples and other people too. Scott.
Okay, well, we're not going to stand, well, the title of this is Why the EFF Sucks, and we're not going to come up here and just sort of, you know, espouse our views on why they suck and, you know, give our value judgments and stuff like that. What we've come up with is a scientific algorithm, much like long division, whereby if you follow the steps, you cannot fail to arrive at the conclusion that the EFF sucks. Okay? Now, there are 17 steps to this. 17. And there's one other thing. After each step, I'm going to require some audience participation. After reading each step, I need you to say, or to ask rather, where was the EFF? So can we just practice that like one time, just to sort of... Okay, step one. You must distribute pictures of Secret Service agents picking their noses. Step two, you must be charged with tampering with evidence for allegedly removing batteries from a tone dialer. It helps if, in fact, you never remove those batteries. Step three, you must plea bargain this charge to avoid a long and drawn-out ordeal over something you consider to be nonsense anyway. You must receive a sentence that includes probation. All right, step four is, while on probation, you must purchase a quantity of electronic crystals that you intend on selling. Alright, during this sale, you must be questioned by local police who suspect you of doing something illegal with these crystals. Step six, while being questioned, you must have your vehicle illegally searched such that instructions for building a red box using those crystals is found. These instructions are much like the diagrams on 2600 t-shirts that people wear around. Okay. Step seven. You must have those local law enforcement agencies contact the Secret Service to learn what manner of evil crystals can be used for. All right. Step eight. You must have the Secret Service realize that you are, in fact, the same wise guy who distributed pictures of them picking their noses. Indeed, where were they? Okay, step nine. You must have your house raided by the Secret Service, and you must be arrested at gunpoint. Step ten. You must own dangerous reading material. Suggestions include Secret Service frequencies. The Anarchist Cookbook is always a good item to have on the shelf. And copies of 2600 don't hurt. Okay, step 11. You must languish in jail for 6 months awaiting arraignment. Using your interesting reading material as evidence, the Secret Service has ensured that no bail is possible at this point. Okay, step 12. After 6 months, you must go before a judge who places your bail at $250,000. Okay? You must be charged with a new federal statute that has never been tried in a court of law before. The statute makes it illegal for anyone to possess any equipment, software or hardware, that is capable of modifying phone equipment of any sort. I'm sorry, but I didn't hear that. Okay, step 13. As an average ordinary guy, you must not have the financial means to make your bail of $250,000. You must not have the financial means to represent yourself in court. Your alleged crime must be sufficiently technical in nature that no court-appointed attorney on earth could possibly defend you. Your cries of help to so-called civil liberties groups go unanswered.
Where was the NSF?
All right.
ACLU?
That's next year.
Yeah, the sequel. All right, step 14. You must plead guilty to avoid a trial you cannot win without proper legal representation. Now, as you have already been languishing in jail for 6 months or so, your sentence is completed already. However, you are now brought up on new violations, parole violations, for your original crime of allegedly removing those batteries from that tone dialer. After more months of adapting to your new prison life, a life which includes no medical attention for a chronic coughing fever, you must go before a judge for another sentencing hearing. At your sentencing hearing, the Secret Service must argue that you are a terrorist because of the aforementioned reading material that you own. The judge must believe the Secret Service and sentence you to 6 to 24 months in prison. Again, this sentence is for a probation violation of a misdemeanor offense. Nothing more. This is the last step. 17. You must file a federal appeal arguing that the new and untested law under which you were charged and convicted is vague and therefore unconstitutional. Among other things, the law, it's Title 18, Section 1029 of the United States Code, states that, quote, whoever possesses hardware or software which can be used for altering or modifying telecommunications instruments shall be guilty under this section, as your appeal affects not merely your case, but all future cases prosecuted under this statute, you must wonder why it is that no civil liberties organizations have bothered to help you. Now then, if you go through those 17 steps, as indicated, I think that you'll come to the conclusion that the EFF sucks.
Quick turbo announcement. There's a large gentleman in a green shirt, kind of chubby, he's dark complexion, and he was seen 15 minutes ago with all the handsets in his hand, and he's roaming around somewhere. So if you see him, get those handsets from him. Hey, you point him out, I'll get him.
I've just been notified that the EFF is missing. And that's why we haven't heard anything from them. They're last seen walking down the street in California with a bunch of blue ribbons tied around their face. No one knows where they're going. We have someone else here who was a... All right, then you answer for them. Where the hell are they? Maybe the ACLU will help them then. We have a victim of the EFF here. Maybe I'm speaking a little too harshly, but this guy here actually asked for help once, and what happened was rather dramatic, I guess, to you. So come step up here. You need help coming up? All right.
Okay. Basically, I got in some problems which I thought were questionable. I had questions about the civil liberties aspects of what was happening to me. I called up the EFF and I told them my story, and basically they told me, we don't help people like you. The EFF is not here to help hackers, and it's not really quite clear what they do or what their purpose is. And yeah, that's my story.
What organizations have we donated to?
Yeah.
We don't donate to organizations. I'm not sure what you mean. What do you mean?
Well, they only donate to things like, you know, Dow Chemical and good, you know, respectable things that make an agent
honor. No, ESF gets all its money from AT&T and the phone company. They don't need us. Well, that's the point, yes. Well, you see, the thing is, when you have an organization that exists supposedly for that purpose, and they don't do their job, you have to call upon them. Oh, yes, they did. EFF was founded as a direct result of Operation Sundevil in 1990. They were inspired by us. They were in constant contact with hackers to help them get started. And then once they got started, they didn't want to talk to us again. The point is, EFF has gotten a reputation as the organization that defends people like us. And they don't want it, and they don't deserve it, because they certainly don't do that, and they don't want to do that. You're right, we do need another organization. I think the first step is to make it clear that they are not the organization, and that's the purpose of us being here today.
Well,
then
you
already knew that. Well, there are other groups. There's Hackers Defense Fund, which you'll be hearing from in a little while. It's up to us to decide who we want to carry this burden. But the first thing, we have to legitimize who we are. And right now, the EFF is not doing us any good. They're making us out to be criminals along with everyone else. And that's something that's very bad. The Bernie-esque things, that's just one case. That's just one person. It's a bizarre string of circumstances. But it's something that some organization has to take an interest in if they claim to stand up for individual rights of any sort. Question?
What are you doing here?
First of all, it's not Bernie S. was not a computer hacker. Okay, Bernie S. sold chips, or he sold crystals rather. He spread information. They don't care about you guys. They care about the people that spread the knowledge. They care about people that teach you guys. That's what it's all about. I mean, they want to silence the voices of people that inspire others to do things. And that's where the real danger is. Bernie S. was not a hacker in the sense that he did not go around breaking into computers. I don't know if he had an account on the internet. He didn't use red boxes. He wanted to learn how to build them. He wanted to teach people how to build a better circuit. That's what he was all about. And passing around pictures to Secret Service agents. Which I think we should all do, because, you know, there's no law against it. There's no law against taking a picture of somebody. They think they're above the law, and so far they've proven that they are, and they've proven that nobody cares enough to do anything about it. And when I say nobody, I'm excluding people in this room, but we don't have the power to make a difference. Now, EFF could have just issued a statement on Bernie S. They were asked numerous times. They said nothing, not one word, not even this.